Today, Red Alert, probably in turmoil, as government seeks to support and crush at the same time. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I've noticed posts covering finance and property news. Australian property appears to be a significant turning point, with the realisation that prices can go down as well as up, and it's now becoming a bit of a reality in places. So today, we examine some of the latest market dynamics in the light of the upcoming budget on Tuesday, where Treasurer Jim Chalmers says that the budget there will have a major focus on building homes, and Claire O'Neill flagged further announcements in coming days, saying it would be fundamentally a housing budget, as well as us looking at the latest from the auctions where clearance rates have crashed, and data on property listings too. Actually, there was a significant report by Aidan Devine suggesting that Australia's rental market has been bleeding homes as mum and dad investors cash out of their properties ahead of the looming changes to capital gains tax and negative gearing. New analysis of quarterly property sales data revealed landlord dumped a record 22,640 rental homes over the past 3 months, with 4,865 of the sales occurring in Sydney and 5,565 in Melbourne. Yes, Melbourne, that nexus of everything bad relating to property, it seems. About 21% of every home listed for sale in both Sydney and Melbourne over the period was a previous rental, according to the Foundit report, which described the volume of sales as a flood. The 4,865 ex-rentals leaving Sydney's rental market this autumn are 4,865 properties that may never return as rental, the Foundit report said. The biggest landlord exodus in Sydney was reported in the CBD and inner south, North Shore and Parramatta. And in Melbourne, it was in areas such as Docklands and South Bank and the city's west. And areas such as Parramatta in Sydney have a higher volume of investor sales as well. Now, interestingly, my analysis reveals that these areas are also yielding low returns on both a gross and net yield basis. Actually, I discussed this in my recent show, where I went through the latest from our surveys, including data on yields. In fact, on Tuesday, I'll be running a live show where we can deep dive on specific postcodes. So join us at 8 p.m. While some sales will still crystallise capital growth, especially in Brisbane and Perth, there are areas where there has been little capital growth in recent years, especially in the high-rise sector. And landlords are also reaching tipping points where it is not possible to lift rents even higher because, frankly, renters are unable to pay more. The Foundit report measured 122,316 national residential sales advertised between February and May and matched them with 5 years of rental advertising records from licensed real estate agencies. A property was considered an ex-rental if its address appeared on records as an agency-managed rental before it was listed for sale. So it actually may be understating the situation. But with higher interest rates and reduced capacity to borrow, renters won't necessarily be able to buy these properties unless prices fall substantially, even with the government's 5% scheme. It comes as the Albanese government has talked up a wide-ranging set of tax reforms, which will be announced on Tuesday, which would likely increase the amount of tax charged to property investors. Some grandfathering is likely, and possibly extra tax breaks for new property. But a national poll by money.com.au in April showed 61% of investors would pull back from new purchases or sell under the proposed new tax changes. The government is expected to scrap the 50% capital gains tax discount and move to the pre-1999 inflation index model. It's also expected to curtail the ability of investors to offset losses on investment properties against their incomes, which is known as negative gearing. And in fact, some more affluent households massively negatively gear. New builds are likely to be exempted from the changes in a bid to encourage investors to bring new housing stock online, however. The status quo in the housing market and in the tax system is broken, Treasurer Jim Chalmers told the ABC. It's not working. It is locking out too many Australians and we're not building enough homes. Seeking to preemptively justify a broken promise, Chalmers said Labor was focused solely on supply when it ruled out changes to negative gearing a year ago, but was now turning its attention to other perceived barriers to home ownership. The federal budget will also include $2 billion to build enabling infrastructure like water and sewage pipes for housing developments, which Housing Minister Claire O'Neill said would unlock 65,000 new homes over the decade. The $2 billion adds to the more than $4 billion that Labor has announced for critical infrastructure since coming to office in 2022, and $45 billion spent on trying to overcome Australia's housing crisis. Despite this, the government remains well behind schedule to achieve its target of building 1.2 million new homes by the middle of 2029. It's on track to fall somewhere between 250 and 300,000 short. Only Victoria, Western Australia and the ACT are currently on track to meet their share of the target by the middle of 2029, having completed 23, 22 and 23% respectively their allocation. That's a year ahead of Queensland and nearly 2 years ahead of New South Wales, according to a report from the National Housing Supply and Affordability Council. Compounding the issue, the war in the Middle East has pushed the price of construction materials higher, including steel and PVC. In March, suppliers of steel products used in construction lifted their prices by 15% and warned of further increases in price increases, which could hit 25% for steel bars and wire used to reinforce concrete slabs, have also spilt over into materials such as cement and gravel, with suppliers including Boral passing on higher fuel bills. This critical investment will literally lay the foundations for our country to build more homes because more housing supply means more housing affordability, O'Neill said. Interest rate rises and possible changes to the property tax on Tuesday's federal budget have spooked home buyers clearly, resulting in the second lowest weekend auction clearance rate this year. Just over half the homes that went under the hammer at the weekend sold, sinking the preliminary clearance rate to 56.5% across 2,216 auctions. That's according to Cotality. The true clearance rate, which I calculate by comparing listings with reported sales, was a low 42.2% nationally. Melbourne led auction volumes last week. 1,080 homes went under the hammer, down 15.6% from the week prior, but still 34.9% higher than at the same time a year ago. The city registered a 57.7% clearance rate, the city's lowest since the last week of September in 2024. The true clearance was 43.5%. And remember, a lot of those properties are ex-rental properties trying to be sold quickly. In Sydney, the clearance rate was 55.2%, the lowest in 4 weeks, and 741 properties were auctioned. The true clearance was 42.2%. While Australia's auction volumes were down by 13.6% from the week before, the number of homes to go under the hammer did still remain high compared to the same period a year ago, up 27.5% according to Cotality. And again, this underscores that need to sell properties in the investment side of the ledger and quick. Across the smaller capital cities, Brisbane held 164 auctions and the preliminary clearance rate fell slightly from the week before. The true clearance was 39.6%. And meanwhile, in Canberra, 140 homes went under the hammer with a 48.3% clearance rate, the lowest success rate of all the capital cities. True clearance was just 37.7%. And Adelaide hosted 106 auctions and recorded a clearance rate of 67.2%, but a true clearance of 38.7%. Now we're going to likely see more interventions in the markets by the state and federal governments, with taxpayer funds splashed around in an attempt to show they really care. But if they did, then surely migration should be the key issue to address, as high migration stokes demand and stamp duty yields, etc. But this still remains largely a set of announceables at a time when, frankly, property prices are on the turn. Since his suggestions were a cash grab, Mr. Chalmers said the tax overhaul was about reform, not revenue, playing down the amount of money the change are expected to raise. But in truth, he needs massive further tax receipts to fund the big and potentially growing deficit. Spingin was, well, frankly, at it again.
Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.